Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, 7 lines from the top. We spoke at the end of the previous shir about Chamira Sakanta Misura. So our Gemara continues for a moment discussing that issue. Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah teaches us Masechta Trumas, Gimla Mashkin Asura Mishim Gilui. There are three beverages where there's particularly a concern that if they're left exposed, a snake might have drank from it and deposited some venom. Mayim v'yayim v'cholov. Water, wine, and milk. Of course, the Poskim say, if we saw a snake drink from any liquid, we would have this concern. The Gemara is referring here to a situation, as we'll see, where we didn't necessarily see a snake drinking from these liquids, but we did see that these liquids were left exposed, and therefore we need to be concerned that the snake might have drank and deposited venom. Continues the Gemara, Kami Yishuv Yusorin, how long did they have to be left exposed that we should be concerned that the snake drank from it and made them usher? Says the Gemara, Kadei Sheyetze Harachash Memokim Karav, the amount of time for the snake to go out from a place near this open container, V'yishta, and drink from it. Says the Gemara, V'kama makam karev, what is considered a near place? Amar Yitzchak B'Rei Rav Yehuda, K'dei Sh'yetzi Metachas Kli, Oizen Kli, the amount of time it takes to go out from under the handle of the vessel that was left exposed, V'yishta, and drink. Ask the Gemara, Yishta, if it's just the amount of time for it to go and drink, so you'll see the snake, hakachazile, and therefore, if you saw it, it's a problem. If you didn't see it, it's not a problem. So the Gemara, the amount of time is the amount of time it would take for a snake to go out from under the handle of this keli, drink, yishta, drink, v'yachsel chayrei, and go back to its hole without you ever noticing the difference. The Taisus, the top Taisus on the Amid, quotes a Yerushalmi that takes a different approach. He says there are some snakes, the snake is called Tosfos says a shvifoin, that could go out from the crack and drink and go away and you'll never see it. It's so small. And therefore, the Yerushalmi says, whenever it's left exposed, we need to be concerned that this is what happened. The Shulchan Aruch says that nowadays we don't really need to be concerned about gilui, about liquids left exposed, because where we live, there are no snakes. However, the Pesach Tshuva does say that there are many Paiskim that were concerned for Gilui. The Gra was very concerned for Gilui. The Shla was very concerned for Gilui. The Gra seems to hold that the reason we have to be concerned for Gilui is because even though, as the Gemara we just learned seems to teach us, that the reason we're concerned for Gilui is because a snake came and drank, so we don't have snakes amongst us, we don't have to be concerned. But as the Gra says, that every din that the Gemara brings down has many reasons that are not brought down. And therefore, maybe the reasons that are not brought down are still applicable, and therefore he was concerned for Gilui. The Pesach Tshuva goes on to say that even though, as we said, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down the halachas of Gilui, the Tor, Beis Yosef, the same author as the Shulchan Aruch, does bring down the halachas of Gilui. Why does he bring them down if they're not relevant? It must be that there is some relevance even b'zman hazeh. And as the Pella Yoyitz goes on to explain, because even if maybe there isn't such a great concern b'zman hazeh, we don't live with snakes amongst us, but we don't know what kind of situation, what kind of exposure these liquids might have had. And if we need a nace, we need some sort of hashgacha pratis to protect us. So every time we have hashgacha pratis protecting us, it takes away from our credits. It takes away from our schusim and shemayim. We don't want to use those schusim up. And therefore, we should try to stay away from all these things, up to the point that the Paiskim say that those that leave water next to the bed for negelvas in the morning should keep that water covered. As we finish the sugya, The Gemara, as we learned at the end of the Shia, says, Chamira Sakanti Misura. Why is Chamira Sakanti Misura? So some explain, because when the Torah speaks about the Shmiras watching herself, the Torah says, V'neshmarta ma'oid l'naf sheseichem. The Torah adds the word ma'oid. Why does the Torah add that word ma'oid? To teach us that we have to be extremely careful when it comes to watching our health. And as the other mefarshim said, I quoted Chassam Seifen yesterday, Shir, other mefarshim say, because if a person, chas v'shalom, will become sick, he won't be able to learn Torah. He won't be able to do mitzvahs. So, which is our purpose in this world. So we have to try to be careful to stay as healthy as possible that we could continue in our avodas Hashem. Continues the Gemara. Itmar. Hashoich besaken, if somebody shechs with a knife, v'nimsas peguma. That means, he shechs with a knife, and after he did the shechita, he finds a nick, a pegima in the knife. So as the Rishonim explain, our Gemara is speaking about a knife, most Rishonim explain, that was examined before the shechita, and was found to be fine. And now, the shechita is done, and after the shechita, it has a pegima in it. What is the status of this knife? The Rosh, however, says that if one, after he uses the knife the last time for Shechita, examined it, made sure it was fine, and put it away carefully, he doesn't have to check it before. He could assume that the knife is fine. Furthermore, the Paiskim can say, one should check the knife before he does the Shechita, not after doing the Shechita. Why? Even though maybe the person would say, I'll check after. And if it's not good, the animal will not be considered kosher. So I sort of probably can give a number of reasons why not to do that. One is, it's a question about tashchis. If it ends up that the knife wasn't good, the animal will go for treif. Another point is the bracha of atala. We know, we discussed already at the beginning of the Masechta, that before shechit is done, you make a bracha. And if you ended up, the animal was treif, so if it's treif, you couldn't control it. It's one thing, but if you could have checked your knife and you made a bracha, and it turns out to be a bracha of a tala, and the simplest reason is because we're concerned that you may forget to examine it after the shechita, so the right thing to do is check it before the shechita. And that's how we're going to learn the Gemara, that the person checked the knife before the shechita, and then after the shechita he checks it again, v'nimtzas peguma. Am Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, afila shiva ba'atzam is kol hayom, even though if you use the knife all day long for breaking bones, psula. The shechita is considered that the animal is not kosher. Why? Because chashinen, we need to be concerned, shem ba'ar nifkama. As the person was shechting, before he cut the simonim, before he did the ma'aser shechita, the knife might have gotten nicked in the hair on the animal, and therefore the shechita is not a good shechita. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, holds ksheira. Why? He used bones. He used it to break bones. As I said in the previous shurim, the butchers, the shachtim were the butchers. And therefore we say that the knife got broken with the bones, but when he did the shechita, the knife got nicked with the breaking of the bones, but when he did the shechita, the knife was fine. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Rav Huna, why Rav Huna is machmer, is kishmatzei. He explained himself very well. He said, because we have to be concerned that before the shechita was done, the knife already became posel. Ella Rav Chisda asked the Gemara, according to Rav Chisda, my tama, why is Rav Chisda so lenient? Answers the Gemara, Amalach, etzem vade paigim, a bone is very likely to cause a nick in the knife, or the hair, sofik paigim, sofik la paigim, it's not so clear. Hair isn't usually going to make a nick. Have a suffix vavadai, vain suffix mitzvah vadai. And as Tosfos explained, the definition of suffix and vadai in this Gemara is not the same definition as suffix and vadai throughout Shas. The definition of suffix and vadai here is that it's a statistical thing. It's more, if you have a choice to assume that where did the knife get nicked, from bones or hair, it's more statistically likely that it got broken from bones rather than from hair. Usually, Tosfos says the definition of suffik and vadai is that the suffik and vadai are contradictory to each other, and therefore we go with the vadai, not with the suffik. Here they're not contradictory. It's a question of statistics. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, Rav Chisda, who takes this lenient approach and says that if you use the knife to crack bones, we could assume that it was the bones that nicked the knife. What does Rav Chisda mean? Only if you used it to actually crack bones, so you actually chop bones with a knife, which is likely, or even if you just cut bones, which is not so, is not such a tough act, where Rav Chisda takes the same approach. Most Rishonim seem to say that Rav Chisda is lenient. As long as he used it with bones, we could assume that it was the bones that broke the knife. Now here we have a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim in understanding the opinion of Huna. Rav Huna is the machmer. Rav Huna says that if you check the knife after the shechita and it had a nick in it, we have to be concerned that it was there before the shechita, and therefore the animal is not kosher. But what will Rav Huna hold, asked the Rishonim, if the knife is lost? He took a knife, he had a good knife as we started, did a shechita, and now the knife is not here to examine. Can we eat the animal or not? Many Rishonim say that Rav Huna will be makel there. And many Rishonim say, no, the Rav Huna is concerned that it might have gotten ruined, might have gotten nicked during the putting through the Or, and therefore you can't. So the ones that are Machmer are sort of easy to understand, because Al Gemara is established. The Rav Huna is always concerned that the Or might have nicked your knife. The ones that are Makel and say, if the knife isn't here to examine, even Rav Huna will be lenient. Why? And it goes back to the way we've been explaining the entire point here. Everybody agrees that statistically, we don't really have to be concerned that something happened before the shechita. Why? Number one, who says that the knife was nicked? We're talking a case where we don't have the knife available to us. Number one, who says the knife got nicked? And even if it got nicked, who says it got nicked before the shechita? Maybe it got nicked after the shechita. And even if it got nicked before the shechita, maybe you didn't use that spot on the knife to actually cut the simonim. So therefore, since you have all of these reasons to be makel, and you don't have the knife here to actually examine, even Rav Huna will be lenient, according to most Rishonim. Continues the Gemara. Masiv Rava l'siul Rav Huna. So Rava brings the following brisa to prove Rav Huna's point. It says in a brisa, Taval, if somebody went to the mikveh, v'ola, and then he comes out of the mikveh, and then as the day goes on, he discovers on his body a chatzitza. Even though this chatzitza that he now has on his body, which would disqualify the tefillah, was something that he worked with all day after the tefillah, and therefore we should assume that it only came on his body after the tefillah, like also like tefillah, the tefillah is not considered a valid tefillah, Ach Yomer, unless he could say barely that he's certain Shlahoisa Allah Kaidun came, that it was on him before. Without being able to say it, we have to be Machmer. Very interesting point that the Pnei Yeshua and the Chazanish make in this Gemara. They say as follows, Midaraisa, the only thing that's considered a chatzitza is if it's Rubai, if it's covering most of the body, and it's Makbid, it's something that the person is particular about. Anything else from the rice is not a chatzitza. Obviously, our Gemara is not speaking about a case where it was Rubai or Makbid. There was most on his body, and he's careful, because then he would know if it was covering most of his body, if it was there before the tefillah or after the tefillah. So obviously, we're discussing here a situation where it's a miut, it's not covering most of the body, but it's Makbid. The person doesn't is particular about it. So they ask, isn't the miut ha-Makbid only Osmad Rabbanan? So how are we comparing the two cases? Al Gemara of Shechita is a situation of a Daraisa. This is a situation of the Rabbanan. So they explain, from here we see, that even though the concept of Chatzitza, of Mir HaMakbid, the din of Mir HaMakbid is only a Rabbanan, it's treated very seriously, and it's treated that we should be Machmer on it. Now, let's analyze this case, says the Gemara. V'hocha, in this situation, the Vade Tavel, he certainly went to the mikveh. There's a Suffolk. There's a question, Havaleh, was this chatzitza on him prior to going to the mikveh? Safik lo Havaleh, or it only came on to him after he went to the mikveh. Yet, what are we saying? That ka'asi safik ha'maisim de'vadai. We say that the tefillah is not a valid tefillah. So why don't we say the same here? We see here in our Gemara a knife with a begimah. We don't know when the Begima came, before the Shechita or after the Shechita. We should say it came before. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Diklamei Mohammed Tomei Cheskosai. The person had a Cheskos Tomei. So we keep that Cheskos Tomei unless we can be certain that he had a proper tefillah. Given that we can't be certain that he had a proper tefillah, we have to be Makmer. Veiman, therefore we say, the Loi Tavel, that the tefillah wasn't a valid tefillah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the line of reasoning, Hachinami and our Gemara as well. One, we say, Hamad Behemel Cheskosa, follow the Chazaka, and as we said in the previous Shurim, every animal has a Cheskos Isser, whether it's a Cheskos Evim and Achai, whether it has a Cheskos Eina Zvucha, as we said in the previous Shurim, and say, the Emer, and let's say, Loi Nishkata, that it didn't have a proper Shechita, says the Gemara, Shkutal Funecha, how can you say it didn't have a proper Shechita? It did have a Shechita. We have a Shechita. Says the Gemara, if that's your line of reasoning, Hachinami, Harei Tavel Lefanecha. The person went to the mikveh. What is the problem? Hasal Dvarei. So we know he went to the mikveh, but we find the Chatzitza. So in our Gemara as well, says the Gemara, Hachinami is Yal Dvarei. So how are we differentiating? So the Gemara's question is, if we see by the halach of tefillah, where there's a reyesa, we have to be concerned and say that it was there prior to him going to the mikvah. Similarly, we should say here that the knife became disqualified before the shechita. Hachinami sal debay reyesa. Answers the Gemara, sakin isroi behem aloy isroi. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara's teretz. Tosfos learns the Gemara's teretz, going back to the way we've been learning the entire Gemara. It's a statistical issue here. By the knife, there are so many sfeikas involved why we should be makel. Number one, we don't know when it became pogam. Number two, we don't know if he shechted with a part that's pogam. So since we have all these reasons to be makel, that's why we're lenient when it comes to the shechita. We're asked by the tefillah. We don't have all of these reasons. We don't have so many issues, so many reasons pointing in the direction of leniency, and therefore we can't be lenient. That's how Tosfos explains the Gemara's teretz. The Rashba has a different approach. He says it's a lamdasha approach. The Rashba's approach is that by the sakin, the person, the issue is not the issue that we're discussing is the knife. The knife is pogam. We don't know when the knife became pogam. But we're not worried about the knife. We're worried about the animal. Is the animal kosher or not? Yes, the knife and the animal are very connected, but they remain two separate entities. There's one entity called the knife. There's one entity called the behema. By the tefillah, the chatzitz is on the actual person who went to the mikveh. And therefore, the two cases are not really identical. And these two pshatim in understanding the Gemara are very relevant in the whole mahalach, and the whole approach to understanding the Gemara. Because let's learn this Gemara. The Rishonim make this point. We began with Rav Chisda, we began with Rav Huna, and then Rav Chisda's lenient opinion. And the Gemara explained what was the basis of Rav Chisda's lenient opinion. Because ain't sofik moitz midei vaday. That was the original explanation. Now the Gemara has added a new knetch. The Gemara added a knetch that sakin esroi beim beloy esroi. So according to Tosfos, sakin esroi beim beloy esroi is just a different way of saying ain't sofik moitz midei vaday. So Gemara has been consistent in its explanation of Rav Chisda's opinion. Whereas according to the Rashba, there's a whole new svara. Till now the svara at the beginning of the Gemara Rav Chisda was because ain't sofik moitz midei vaday. Now the Gemara is teaching us a new svara that the issue is not the knife may be disqualified, but that the animal is a slaughtered animal. So the Gemara, according to the Rashba, is changing its explanation why Rav Chisda is lenient. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei. A word of introduction. An animal, the way you slaughter an animal, is you have to shecht midaraisa, roiv abot simonim. What are the two simonim? The veshit and the kana. The veshit is the esophagus, the kana is the trachea, or otherwise known as the windpipe. By a bird, what you're supposed to shecht, it's not our minute, we shecht both simonim, is you only have to shecht roiv of one simen. So we're going to learn later in our Masechta. Shachnas of Eshet. We're talking here about a bird. Somebody shechted the Veshet, the esophagus. V'achach nishmet ha-gergeres. Gergeres is another way of saying the kana, the windpipe, the trachea. The gergeres moved out of its place. Kshera. Why? Because as soon as you shechted most of the Veshet, you did a proper shechita. However, if nishmet ha-gergeres, if the windpipe moved out of its place before v'achach shachat, and only then you shech the veishet, it's psul. In other words, what the Mishnah there is teaching us is that nishmata agageres, the Brice is teaching us that nishmata agageres is a disqualified shechita. Obviously, the Rishonim point out that the same halacha would be vice versa. If you shech the, if nishmata haveishet and you shech the kana, it's the same din. They just explain it's more likely for the kana to go out of its place than for the veishet to go out of its place. So that's why the Brisa used this example. Now, very big machloikus rishonim. Why, if an animal had, or in our case, is a bird, the kana moved out of its place before the shechita, is the shechita not a valid shechita? The simple pshat that many rishonim suggest is that an animal who has its kana, or as I just said, the veishet, dislodged, is a treifa. It's a defect. And therefore, the shechita is an invalid shechita. Many Rishonim have explained, and it goes back to something we discussed in the previous year, that an animal whose kana or veishet is not in the in the right place is in the category of an ikur. We said yesterday that there are five basic halachas of shechita, and one of the basic halachas of shechita is ikur, and we explained that many Rishonim explained that ikur means that if the kana and veishet are not in their proper place, the animal or bird that shechita is not a valid shechita, because for the shechita to be considered a valid shechita, they have to be in the proper place, and therefore will be in the nevela. And as I keep on explaining, there's a very big nafkamina in the halacha if it's a treif or a nevela, because a treif is not metama, and a nevela is metama. Again, shachras of eshet, v'achach nishmet ha-gergeres kshera, nishmet ha-gergeres v'achach shachras of eshet psula. Continues the braisa, shachras of eshet. The person did the shechita, v'nimtza gergeres shmuta. Then he examines the bird, and he sees that the gergeres is out of its place. V'ni yedeim koidim shechita nishmata. Was it before the shechita, and therefore the animal is not kosher? Or was it l'achas shechita nishmata, and the animal is kosher? Says the braisa, zeh yamaisa, they had such an incident, v'amru chazal toras, kol sofik b'shechita, whenever we have such a shaitla, possible. Whenever we have a shayla, we have to be machmer and consider the animal or the bird non-kosher. But the Braisa used the words kol sofik b'shechita, very broad term. Ask the Gemara, kol sofik b'shechita l'suy mai. It's coming to teach us other cases of sofik that we have to be machmer. What is the case it's seemingly coming to teach us? Lav l'suya kai gabna. Isn't it coming to teach us this very din that we're discussing in our shir, where we find after the shechita a knife with a begima that we have to be machmer? Says the Gemara, loy. It's coming to talk about a different case. Lesuya sofik shah sofik daris. Where there's a question if there was a shiur or a drusa, that means the shaychet, after he did the shechita, has a question, maybe it was a shiur, maybe it was a drusa, that's why we have to be machmer. So the Rishonim ask, why, from all of the disqualifications which we've been discussing, does the Gemara say that we're concerned about a Suffolk Shah, Suffolk Doris, more than anything else? So they give two explanations. One explanation, going back to what we discussed previously, most of the other disqualifications, Hagroma and Chalada, you could tell if there was a Hagroma, if there was a Chalada. She and Jerusa, she means there was a pause in Mildred Shechita. Jerusa means that he didn't go with a back and forth motion. He just went with a upward or downward motion. You can't tell. The other thing is you can tell on your own. So if there's a suffix, you'll examine the bird, you'll examine the animal. She and Jerusa, there's no examination. That's one pshat I saw. Then I saw another very nice pshat. Who are we talking about here? We're talking here about a professional shaykhit. A professional shaykhit, usually sheikhs, properly. So let's think about this case. We have a professional shechted who shechted. And now he's nervous. Maybe I made a shir, maybe I made a drusa. So we would think that he's just suffering from a case of anxiety. Because he's a professional shaykh. A shaykh knows not to make a shir. A shaykh knows not to make a drusa. And therefore, we should tell him, don't worry, everything is fine. Kamash malon, that if the shaykh is coming to us and saying, I have a question, perhaps I made a shir, perhaps I made a drusa, we have to be machmer. Ask the Gemara. But now let's think about it. So the Braisa is teaching us that when we have a Suffolk Shia, when we have a Suffolk Drusa, we have to be Machmer. Because it's a Suffolk. So ask the Gemara, why by this Suffolk are we being Machmer? And why by the Suffolk of our Shia, where there was a knife with a Pegim on it, are we being Makel? Or Mashna Hossam, why over there are we being Machmer? Because it's Aldebar Reis of Behema. The Reis is in the animal itself, if it was slaughtered properly. Hachad is the same svar the Gemara said earlier. Saknesroi, the question is not on the animal. As the Rashi explained, these are two separate issues. The animal and the sakn remain two separate entities. Saknesroi, behemeloisroi. Says the Gemara, the hilchasak of a seid Rav Huna, the halach is like Rav Huna, kishloi shira by etzim, where you didn't break a bone. We didn't break bone, we have to be concerned that and you find a knife with a begima, we have to be concerned that the or made the begima. And Rashi says, not every Rishon agrees with Rashi, but it's the second Rashi in the Amid, says that even when one is shechting a bird, which a bird usually has soft skin, Rav Huna will still be machmer, and the halacha will be machmer, that we have to be concerned that even though it has soft skin, if you didn't break bones afterwards, that it got broken, that the knife got a begima, because of the skin. However, continues the Gemara, the Hechas Kavaseid Rav Chizda, but we do follow the opinion of Chizda, Kishashiva Ba'etzim. That if you broke bones, there we could say that it would be Makel, that it was the bones that ruined your knife, not the neck. And the Mefarshim make a very interesting point. Here the Gemara says the word Etzem, Lashon Yochid. Unless in Aleph it says atzamos. Why does the Gemara change its wording? Sometimes the singular, sometimes the plural. So they say a beautiful pshat. On Amr Aleph, the Gemara was describing Rav Huna's opinion. And the Gemara was teaching us how far is Rav Huna Machmer. That not, even if you broke many bones after the Shechita, so it's very likely it was the bones that ruined your knife, we still have to be Machmer. Here the Gemara is teaching us how far Rav Chizda's Makel. That not only if you broke many bones after the Shechita, do we have reason to be Makel? Kishishiva ba'etzem, you only broke one bone. So you don't have so much reason to say that the bone ruined your knife, we could say it. But let's think about this Gemara. What's the Gemara saying? That Rav Hun, that we're paskening like Rav Chizda when you broke a bone after the Shechita, or paskin like Rav Huna when you didn't break a bone. What does this seem to indicate? That Rav Chizda himself is lenient even when you didn't break any bones. We're just not going to paskin like him. But Rav Chizda himself is Makel. Says the Gemara Mechlal, it seems from the wording of this Gemara, that Rav Chizda afgav the loy shiva by etzim, even if he didn't break any bones, he himself would be Makel. We're not going to agree with him. We're not going to paskin like that, but he himself is Makel. Ask the Gemara about my Ifkim. Why would it be Makel? What ruined your knife? Till now we say that you're cracking bones afterwards. So we say the bones broke the knife. But here you're not breaking any bones. How could Rav Chizda be Makel? Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda always has a reason to be Makel. Not that we agree with it halachically. Because even if you didn't break bones after you shechted, but Ema be'etzin the mefrekes Ifkim. We have to assume, Rav Chizda says that it got cracked. When did it got cracked? That after you did the shechita, it got cracked, it got nifkam by when you cut the neck bone. We don't paskin that way, but that's why Rav Chizda is always lenient. Says the Gemara, have the uvda, there was an incident, the Torah of Yosef at Shleisa Chayusa. 13 animals were slaughtered this way, and Rav Yosef said they're all treif. Says the Gemara, let's think about it. Kaman, who was Rav Yosef paskin? Was he passing on Rav Huna? And he was teaching us, afil b'kamaisa, that what happened here was, that somebody went and had a knife, Again, the way we've been learning the entire shir, he started off with a good knife. He shechted 13 animals. After the 13 animals, he decided to check his knife. He discovered that his knife had a begim in it. And Rav Yosef said, because I follow Rav Huna's psak, I have to be concerned that the knife got nifkam in the skin of the first animal, and all 13 animals are treif. Says the Merloi. I'm not going to say it's following the opinion of Huna. I'm going to say that Rav Yosef was following the opinion of Chizda, or Levar Mikamaisa. We're talking about not the first animal. The first animal will say will be kosher. It's after the first animal, because after the first animal, we have to be concerned that it got nifkam in the neck bone or in the bones that were cracked after the first knife, after the first animal. V'vayisema, or another way of explaining Rav Yosef's opinion, lo'olam krev huna. We have to say that he's following the opinion of Huna. D'krev chizda, if we're going to say it's like Rav Chizda, so Rav Chizda indeed, says the Gemara, takes this lenient opinion. But says the Gemara, even if Rav Chizda takes this lenient opinion, Rav Chizda takes this lenient opinion, and he says that the knife got disqualified after the Shechita. Mimai, that's in the Mefrekas, the Kamaisif Gom, why would we say that it got ruined after the first animal? So again, the Rishonim explained this Gemara. Even if a Chizda takes a lenient opinion, but if Chizda is the mandamin that says that the neck bone creates nicks, so why would I say the last animal created a nick? It's the first animal that created it. I should even say, according to Chizda, that I need to be concerned that it was the first neck bone that created a nick. So Rishonim says, again, follow the approach that we've been learning in our entire Gemara. We're talking about statistics here. Rav Chizda says it's unlikely that the knife got nicked. And even if it got nicked, maybe I didn't check with the part that was nicked. So Rav Chizda takes this lenient approach. So we're only machmer when we have to be machmer. So Rav Chizda takes this lenient approach. He should not say that it got nicked after the first animal. He got nicked after the last animal. If Rav Yosef clearly said that there's some animals that treif, he can't be following the opinion of Chizda. Amalei Rav Achavid Rav Ravashi, Rav Kahana Matzuch B'dikusoy Ben Kolchad V'chada. Rav Kahana would require that the right thing to do is check the knife between each animal. Kaman, why? Because he obviously is following Rav Huna. L'mifsel Kamaisa, because if you won't check the knife, and then after you shecht all these animals, you're going to find that your knife has a begima, and Rav Huna is concerned that the begima came earlier rather than later, all of your animals will end up being not kosher. Says Meloi, Rav Chizda, even according to Rav Chizda, Lachshuri Bersraisa. You're doing it because even Rav Chizda, who takes the lenient approach, at a certain point he has to be concerned that it got nicked before the Shechita. And you don't want to have even the last animal non-kosher. So even Rav Chizda says before each Shechita, you should check to make sure that the Shechita is a proper Shechita. Before I go further, one word of introduction. We're going to spend a lot of time on this later in the Masechta. But just for a moment. The halacha the Mishnah teaches is that before you do a Shechita, you're supposed to show this knife to a Chacham. You're supposed to show the knife to the Rav to check if the knife is perfect. So now, ask the Gemara. If according to Rav Huna, when do you have to show the knife? Before the Shechita. So according to Rav Huna, this is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. According to Rav Huna, why do you have to check the knife after each Shechita? Because you want to make sure that the knife is fine. Because if it isn't fine, the Shechita that you just did will be no good. So this is a new checking. And where did Chazal teach us that you have to check a knife? By Rav, before the Shechita, not after the Shechita. So this checking that we're doing after the Shechita has nothing to do with showing the Rav. But according to Rav Chizda, this is the old-fashioned checking, that before you do a Shechita, you have to show the Rav. So the Gemara's question is, so why are you checking? The Gemara is saying that you check it. If you're going according to Rav Chizda, you should show it to the Rav. Let's read it inside. Ihachi, tibay nami b'dikas chacham. You should have to show it to the Rav. If you need to check it, it's not just good enough that you should check it, you should have to show it to the Chacham. Some Rishonim, I didn't learn the Gemara that way, say that this is a question even according to Rav Huna. Answers the Gemara, you don't have to show it to the Rav. Anybody could check it. Why is Erech Nem V'Yisurin? So I saw many explanations. One explanation is because the Torah teaches us that a person could check a carbon and it'll be kosher. Nobody's watching. So it's a proof that one person is trustworthy. Another raya is the Torah teaches us that a woman, when she's a nida, has to count Zayin Nakim. The Torah says a sufferer, she counts for herself. Nobody's supervising her. So you see that Erech Nem V'Yisurin. Other Rishonim say a very simple svara. It's inconceivable, they say, that the Torah would require that everybody's kitchen should have to have a mashgiach watching. We don't find that the Torah requires that of us. Why? It must be because Erech Nem V'Yisurin. And therefore, the Shaykh could check himself. Ask the Gemara, that's why we could be lenient. Ask the Gemara, if that's the reason that Erech Nem V'Yisurin, and we could trust everybody, Yochim Yikar Nami Loi, so then why do we ever have to show it to a Rav? Answers the Gemara, you're correct. Hamar Rav Yochanan, Le'omra Lahara Sakim Chacham. The entire reason why Chazal said we should show the knife to the Chacham, El Bnei Kvodesh El Chacham. It's only because of the cover of a Chacham. Ask the Gemara. Menaha Milsa the Omra Rabbanan. Where do we know what Chazal taught us? Uke Milsa Chazokai. That we could follow Chazokah. And the Chassam Sofer and other Achroinim frame this Gemara beautifully. Firstly, they teach us that there are a number of types of chazaka. Essentially, there are three categories of chazaka. One category of chazaka is that there are chazakas that the Gemara establishes are human behavior. Ain't other mayas b'fnei b'chayvay. Nobody's mechutzav in front of a person I owe money. That's one type of chazaka. There's another type of chazaka, we learned extensively in Masechta Basra, a chazaka based on years. That if I was on a property, Gimel Shonim, for 3 years, and nobody said anything to me, that is another type of chazaka. Those are not the chazakas that we're discussing in our Gemara. What is the chazaka that we're discussing now that our Gemara wants to establish from where we see that there's a that chazaka is relevant in halacha? The chazaka of chazaka miyikara. That we say that a situation that is in place must have been there from before. And the Chassam Sofer, and again, the other Achroinim, say what Chazak is a concept that keeps on coming up in Shas. Why did the Gemara, specifically in Masechta Chulin, Daf Yoreh Beis, remember to discuss Chazakas? So they explain, because in our Gemara, we're using the concept of Chazakah, Lekula and Lechumra. Rav Huna is using the concept of Chazakah Lechumra, that the animal was not kosher, and unless we know that it was properly slaughtered, we have to treat the animal, we have to keep on treating the animal as non-kosher. Rav Chisda is using the concept of chazaka on the other way, that we saw that the animal was slaughtered, and then afterwards we see that the knife has a begima, we say that the chazaka is that the begima only came later. So they're both using the concept of chazaka, but they're using it with opposite results. So we see the power of chazaka, that it can accomplish a kula and it can accomplish a chumra. Where do we see the concept of chazaka? Again, read the Gemara. Menah milsa d'amr rabbanon uke milka chaskei, amr shmuel ben nachmeni, amr rav yonis, amr kro. The Torah teaches us, v'yotza koyim in ha'abayis, if a house has a nega, so the Torah says that the koyim should go out of the house, al pesach ha'abayis, v'isker ha'abayis, shivas yom. That means, the koyim comes to the home, examines the home, sees a nega, and if the nega is the proper size, the halacha is that he declares the house tamei. Hisger, there's two ways that Rishonim explained. The actually closing the door is what makes it Tameh, or Hisger doesn't mean closing the door. Hisger means the declaration. But now, why not be concerned? Dilma adam nafik for asa, until he leaves the house, batzalei shirai, that it's no longer the proper shir. El alav, it must be, mishunamirin, okay, cheskei, that we rely on a chazaka. That the Kohen saw that it had the proper shear, and we assume that it remained that way all along. So we see that we follow Chazakah. So Tosfos asks, we just said, that the Chazakah in our Gemara is a kula and a chumra. So that pasuk, that din indeed proves to us that we go with a Chazakah l'chumra. that if we saw a knife, if we saw a shear, we assume he continued having that shear. But where do we see from there kula? We're saying that chazaka is also lakula. How do we see from that case a kula? So some rishonim say if we follow chazaka, it goes either way, kula chumra. Others say there's kulas there as well. Why the kulas? Because we're going to bring kabanas based on it. There's a din of kachem b'chut. You're not a chula b'azara if you're not mechuyev in the carbon. We're going to say, a lot of times you have to see if this neg is spread or not. And if it's saying it's smaller and it ends up being bigger, it's a kula. And bigger and ends up being smaller, it's a kula. So you have kula and chumra. Ask the Gemara, why are we assuming that we're relying on chazaka there? Mask what about B'Yakov, V'dimlik gan shiyotza derech acharif. Maybe the kohen leaves the house walking backwards, the chazilei, kinofik. So he keeps his eye on the nega, and therefore he's not relying on chazaka. He actually sees that the nega is at all times that sheer. Amalei baya, shei tuvis b'dova. There are two reasons why not to say that. Chada, to say that the kohen walks out backwards doesn't work. Why? The yitzia derech acharif lo yishma yitzia. Walking out backwards is not called walking. The Torah says v'yotza. Yotza means walking normal. Void. Sometimes, if you walk out backwards, you can still see. Let's say the thing is behind the door. So even if you walk out backwards, you won't see the neg anymore. V'chi teima. The pasuk by Kavasa. Ah, you'll say, if it's behind the door, you'll make a new hole to see if there's a nega. But tanan, that isn't permissible. Because the halacha is, let's say it's a bayis offal. Let's say a house that there's a report of a nega is a dark house, and you can't see. The halacha is, ain't paisim by chalonis lirisus negai. It's what you could see, and if you can't see, you can't see. And the mafarshim say, what's the lesson of this gemara? You're not supposed to go out of your way to look for bare things. Amalei rava. So that's why you can't say they walked out backwards. It must be, again, because we're relying on the chazaka. So Rava refutes Abaya. Amai Rava. That you're saying that walking out backwards is not considered walking, that's incorrect. Why? Because Kain Gal Yom Kippur Michiach. The Torah uses the words Yitziah, and the Torah says that how did the Kain Gal walk out of the Kodesh Kedoshim? We know he had to walking backwards for respect. Yotz Labadar Knesa. Or the Karmid Bayis also ain't paischim by Chalonis Lirisus Negai, so you can open up a window to see if behind the door. Hani Mili, where is there a halacha that you don't make it easy to see the nega? Hecha de lois chazik, where you haven't seen a nega. So to help you discover a nega, we don't do anything to help happen. Aval hecha, here we're already referring to a situation. Hecha de schazik de schazik. Says the Gemara, Tanya, de lois krivach b'yakov. We learned in a braisa, not like Rav Acha b'Yakov, where Rav Acha b'Yakov says walk out backwards. The braisa clearly teaches us not like that, because the braisa says v'yotzim kaim in a bayis yochel yelich l'toch beis of yazgir. You think that first the kohen should go home and then he should declare a nega. Tamalayim al pesach abayis. I pesach abayis yochel yam etachas hamashkev yazgir is when he's still in the doorway. Tamalayim min abayis, at sheyetz min abayis kulay. Ha ketzat, what does the kohen do? Only the tzad of mashkev, he stands outside of the door, umaskev. And that's where he closes it. Umanayin, continues the braisa. Shem horech l'toch beis of yehizgar. If he went home and only then declared a nega. Or shom b'toch abayis v'hizgar, shizgerim muzgar, tamaloymer v'zgiris abayis mikol mokay. So what do we see from here? The kohen went home. And that's only when he declared that the bayis has a nega. I, why not be concerned until he got home, it shrunk from the proper size? It must be because we rely on chazaka. Rav Acha b'Yakov says that it's not a compelling raya. Because it could be it's a case, the kind of kaim adara the gavri, vama to the koi koi. The people standing in the they're standing a whole row of people from the house of the nega till the house of the koyin and telling him that we see that the nega didn't shrink. So from there we don't have a raya that, according to him, that we can rely on chazaka, because there's actual visual. The other man Dhamma says, the kohen went home, and he can rely on a nega, it's still there, because we rely on the chazaka.